Hello, everyone, and inside today's Locked On Canadiens, we're taking a look at the Canadiens trade deadlines, the good, the bad, the injuries, and more. All that inside today's show.
Locked On Canadiens, your daily podcast on the Montreal Canadiens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 97. I have been off for a week and have lost track of the episodes here at Locked On Canadiens. As always, thank you for making us your first listen of the day every single day. You can get us wherever you get your podcasts, or if you're subscribed on YouTube, ring the bell to get notified every time we post a brand new episode. I am, of course, one of your hosts. I am Scott Matla, and don't worry, the active stick, Laura Sabat, will be back for our Monday episode. I am here post-trade deadline to give you all the rundown on everything that we could possibly be looking forward to talking about on what was actually a very quiet trade deadline for the Montreal Canadiens. And I've kind of got the show broken down here a little bit. We're going to talk about the deadline itself, what actually happened. We're going to talk about some AHL transactions and who is not going down. Kent Hughes' press conference, the good, the bad, and everything in between that entails. So stick here with me. We've got plenty coming up for you inside this show. Let's jump right into it. Canadiens made, I'm going to say, three total transactions because I am counting Denis Gurianov as a trade deadline transaction. They got him for Evgeny Dodonov with part of Dodonov's salary retained. Get a very good asset. He scored against the LA Kings on Thursday night. Beautiful goal, showing us all why he had that talent. And I think it gives Habs fans a reason to be excited. I'm very excited to actually watch Gurianov now that I'm back from my vacation. I can tune in to watch the Canadiens a little bit easier. The other deal is they got Frédéric Ehlers for trading away Nate Schnarr. This is an AHL swap. There was some thought maybe Ehlers would join the team in Anaheim. He was in LA playing for the Ontario Reign. He did his media availability from what looked like LAX. He will not be joining the team, and that team being the Laval Rocket, until Sunday, March 5th? 4th? 5th. Sunday, March 5th. Which, you know what? Perfectly fine once again. A lot of us thought that this is a move that had, if they needed him tonight with Justin Barron injured and Joel Edmondson potentially traded, he's a couple hours outside of Anaheim, outside of Orange County in LA. Just have him join the team. Even if he's playing 10 minutes on the third pair, it's not the end of the world. That never came to pass. The Canadiens went right away and said, nope, he is going right to the AHL. He will be there on the first flight, which unfortunately is not until Sunday. They were going to try and have him fly out at 8 a.m. tomorrow, that being Saturday, and moving him right into the Rocket lineup, potentially before the Rockford IceHogs come into town on Saturday. That is no longer the case. Ehlers will join the team in this upcoming weekend. And then the last trade is a trade the Canadiens really didn't do much in. They were the third team in the Nick Bonino trade between the San Jose Sharks and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I got to say, it's not the worst thing in the world that I've ever seen here. It's a little bit of smart move from Kent Hughes here, is that the Canadiens acquired a 2024 fifth-round draft pick and 27-year-old Finnish defenseman currently playing for Rogel in the SHL, Tony Sund, as part of the three-team trade to retain half of Bonino's salary, as far as I understand it. The thing with this is Tony Sund is just extra body because the Canadiens sent Arvid Henriksen, who is somehow 7 years after being drafted, still Canadiens property, do not understand it whatsoever, to the San Jose Sharks. Well, the Sharks got a seventh-round pick in return for Nick Bonino. Obviously, the Penguins get their guy. They needed salary retained. The Canadiens finally made use of one of their two remaining spots, the other one still being used on Evgeny Dodonov, to create space. And the fun part about Tony Sund is that this is not going to be, he's not some hidden gem playing over in Europe. The biggest thing is I think he is a name the Canadiens are very familiar with, especially their scouting staff, because he is Adam Engstrom's defensive partner. That was first pointed out by Patrick Bexell of Habs Eyes on the Prize and good friend of the show. He pointed that out, and I think that's why he was involved in this, that the Canadiens went, just toss us a body. Maybe he comes in place for the Rocket next year. I'm not anticipating that. Engstrom will not be coming over. He has an SHL contract, and he cannot go to the AHL right now with that because he's not a first-round pick, because that is how that rule works, if I am remembering correctly. Quiet across the board for the Montreal Canadiens, and we're going to get more later on the episode about why that might have been and what Kent Hughes was facing in this. But at the same time, it's not the end of the world. I would have liked to have seen something, maybe some more AHL trades. The AHL trade deadline is next Friday. AHL contracted players only can be moved up until that point. The Rocket are obviously loaded with them. I don't anticipate any of their big names moving unless there's a deal they cannot turn down. But any of the guys on NHL deals, so your Stevens, your Bowies, your Norlanders, etc., they're not going to be going anywhere. Those deals had to have been done by today because those are NHL contracts. But AHL contracts, the Brandon Gignacs, the Dominic Martels, the Gabriel Borks, etc., can be moved. I'm not anticipating the Rocket maybe making a move in any of those, except maybe potentially trying to acquire a goaltender because Kevin Poulin is injured and Philippe Desrosiers, they don't fully know how to integrate. And you can't burn out Caden Primo at this point. It's hard to grade this deadline. I know a lot of people were hoping for more, and actually coming up in the next couple segments here, we're going to talk about readjusting expectations on that, just because it's very tough for the Canadiens to be in the position that they were in, because quite frankly, there's a lot of things that were out of Kent Hughes' hands, out of the Canadiens' hands due to injuries and due to so many other issues. But as far as deadlines go, they did better than the Flyers, a lot better than the Flyers. They, I think, did better than the Canucks. The Canucks, no one knows what they're doing. And I'm still not sure why Florida didn't do anything. A team that's chasing a playoff spot didn't add anything whatsoever, which is good news for the Montreal Canadiens, who want that higher draft pick overall. Gotta say, big fan of Florida doing nothing. Always going to be a big fan of that. But coming up in our next segment, there was one other major transaction today, one that happens every year. It is the AHL demotion paper transactions. I'm going to tell you who got sent down, who did not, and why, and what's next for this team, and that's all coming up next. But first, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. You know Built Bar. You know we love Built Bar on this show. And if you're looking for a delicious treat that you don't want all the extra fat and calories, then you got to try Built Bar. Obviously, we're getting into the spring here soon, potentially. And you need a snack when you're going out and exercising, you're walking the dog like I do, and you need that extra boost. Built Bar is there for you, and they are covered in 100% real chocolate and come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. Just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 17 grams of protein. Everything you are possibly looking for in your protein bar. And guess what? If you live near a Sam's Club, you can go and you can get a full size pack for that. If you were near Walmart, you can go to 4-pack, and you can still go to built.com, put together your own box, and try whatever flavors you could possibly want to. There's so many good ones in there that it's hard to pick just one to send. So if you are looking for a new protein bar to help get you through your day and help power through your workouts or hikes or whatever, Built Bar's going to be there for you. Give it a shot. It's got our guarantee. We are back here at Locked On Canadiens. I am your solo host today. I am Scott Matla. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your daily podcast, or if you are watching on YouTube. We mean it. We appreciate that so, so much. Now, on to the other transactions of the day that are all internal for the Montreal Canadiens. They sent down 2 players to the AHL today. And no, they're not actually sent down. They are what is called papered down to the AHL. This happens every single year. And they sent down 2 names. Jesse Ylönen and Raphael Harvey-Pinard were papered to the Laval Rocket before the 3 p.m. deadline. If they were not sent down before then, they are ineligible for a team potentially playing in the Calder Cup playoffs. In years past, it didn't matter because the Habs AHL teams did not make the Calder Cup playoffs. Trust me, if you followed me on Twitter long enough, you know this was a contentious thing. Now, however, they have a team that is fighting for their playoff lives in the AHL's North Division. I believe they are potentially sitting in the final play-in spot, if not in a playoff spot right now. And also, with a paper transaction, they do not have to physically send them down. They will recall both of these players after 5 p.m. today, and that will use two of their four call-up spots that you get post-trade deadline. That means if there's injuries or they need someone in an emergency, they have two more recalls to use. This was during Cole Caulfield's rookie year. They were trying to save their final call-up for as long as they could with the cap space they had. And they had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And then finally they were able to do that. With this one, it gives them a little bit more flexibility to use these recalls when the time is right. And as you will note, there are a couple names missing here from AHL recalls who are up in the NHL right now. Justin Barron, Alex Belzile, Rem Pitlick. Those two, Pitlick and Belzile, needed waivers. If you put them on waivers, you risk them getting claimed by a team who sold off a bunch of pieces. And the Canadiens, currently lacking enough bodies on a regular basis, probably don't want to lose pieces that are helping keep their lineup healthy on a general night. And they probably don't want to lose their AHL captain for literally nothing. And Justin Barron is injured. You cannot paper him down while he is injured. It's why Yuri Slavkovsky was probably not sent down. And I'm taking a little bit of Kent Hughes' press here. He never even considered sending Caden Gooley down because he says once his NHL season is over this year, he wants to give him a rest. He played deep into August. He's played a lot of hockey recently, and he's young. You don't want to burn him out. So Harvey Pinard and Yolonen will be back in the lineup against the Ducks on Friday night. But for right now, they are done as it stands. In that, take for comparison here too, comparison's sake, the Canadiens left themselves some flexibility here because they still have two more recalls that if, God forbid, you know, I'm knocking on wood here, the injury crisis gets any worse, they can still bring bodies up. The Vancouver Canucks used all four of their post-deadline recalls at once. They did not use one on Nils Höglander either. So if the Canucks have an injury to any of these people here, they have no recalls to use. They have to use, I believe it's an emergency recall, not one of their regular traditional call-ups, which I suppose is a little bit different, but they cannot add any bodies to their roster. They used all of them at once. And it becomes another test for the AHL roster and the NHL roster. I suppose the next question a lot of you folks are going to have is, what is next for the Montreal Canadiens here? And that's a very good question because now it's just survive. You know, Joel Edmondson is back. The goal is to get him back and maybe rounding into form, and maybe he gets moved in the summer here. Jonathan Drouin is going to hit UFA. You're not getting anything for Jonathan Drouin at this point, which it happens. I believe there's a window that teams that have been eliminated can trade players in this offseason. I'm not 100% sure when that date starts, but I believe it's after the playoff starts, which maybe if Jonathan Drouin goes on a heater, maybe they bring him back. Sean Monahan, not traded. Josh Anderson wasn't going to go anywhere. Mike Hoffman, not going anywhere. The can kind of got kicked down on the road a little bit here, and that's not the end of the world because, to be quite honest, that's just, you know, kind of how things work sometimes. There's a lot of things that are out of Kent Hughes' hand here, and we're going to get into his presser in the next little bit here. But to refocus this on the AHL here is that I'm anticipating the Canadiens' ads are going to be their junior players coming out whenever they are eliminated from their NCAA tournaments. Sean Farrell starts next week in the ECAC. Hockey East, I believe, isn't far behind that. We shouldn't be too far off from OHL, QMJHL, all the CHL leagues working through their leagues here. And yeah, a lot of the top prospects are playing on better teams who should make runs, but crazier things have happened in junior hockey and in the NCAA. I would not be shocked if the big ads for the Canadiens are not these young guys here, or even for the Rocket for that matter, that if they don't do anything at the AHL trade deadline, you might see Riley Kidney. You might see Logan Mailloux going into the AHL there. You might see Joshua Waugh and Owen Beck get an NHL shot there. And some of these veterans who are probably playing injured right now, they just go, done. Take a seat. You're done for the year and let the young guys play a little bit. The Canadiens' biggest deadline move is basically adding their prospects after their seasons are over. And that was always going to be the thing. And then we just hoped there might be more alongside that. it's a good thing for the Canadians. They're going to get an early look at some of these guys. And obviously you want your prospects to succeed. You want them to go deep in their respective tournaments, to win championships, to win awards and accolades and all these other things. But selfishly, you want to see these guys hit the next level too. I want to see what Joshua Waugh can do in the AHL or at the NHL for that matter. I want to see what Owen Beck can do. I'd like to see, has Logan Mailloux physical assets? Are they going to allow him to compete at the AHL level? We don't know until we see that. I'm excited to see what that next round of additions is. And also the players who aren't signed to their entry-level deals. They're Cedric Andons. They're Vincenz Roars. These are players that can join on, I believe it's ATO's amateur tryouts, and maybe they get games of the Rocket. They're just extra bodies to have around. The Canadians don't have to worry about Black Aces this year. They're not making the playoffs, so they can keep their good pieces there. And God forbid, maybe they just say, you know, we papered down Harvey Pinard and Jesse Ylönen. They've played a lot, though. We're going to give them a break. Okay, now you have all these prospects to slot in at the AHL level. The extra depth is not a bad thing. It's hard to replace your top-end AHL talent, but it's good to at least have the option from some of those other players to do so. And to kind of shift focus back to the rest of the trade deadline here, Kent Hughes had his press conference. I put my very shoddy French translation skills to the test and, you know, listened to his press conference and what's next for the Canadians. Kent Hughes had a lot to say. Not all of it's good, unfortunately. And that's all coming up next. But first, folks, no matter how the last game went, anytime you take the field, you've got a shot at greatness. So you need to make sure you give your team the best shot at winning by recruiting more MVPs with Indeed. And if you're hiring, you need Indeed right now because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements or else you don't pay for anything. And instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that helps you do it all. And Indeed partners you with every step of the hiring process, finding great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. And with Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description, and you can invite them to apply right away. Plus, you only have to pay for the quality applications that meet your must-have requirements. It makes it super, super easy. And Indeed makes it easy to hire great talent. And according to ComScore, Indeed is the number one job site worldwide, delivering four times more hires than all other job sites combined. So you need to join more than the 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/LockedOn. That offer is valid through March 31st. So you just got to go to Indeed.com/LockedOn to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We are back here at Lockdown Canadians, and I mean, the dog is asleep on the couch. Carly's in the other room. The cat is upstairs meowing very loudly. So gang's all here once again. We're going to wrap up the show here, as always, with Kent Hughes' press conference. It's good. It's bad. It's a Montreal Canadiens press conference because there is no way that everything could ever have a happy ending. The biggest one here, and I think the most deeply upsetting one for a lot of fans, is Sean Monahan may not be back this season. And part of that is he was rehabbing his lower body injury. I believe it was a foot injury that he was rehabbing through when he suffered a separate lower body injury. And that took him right out of doing his rehab. That may end his season. And for that, I got to be honest, it's not hard to just feel really, really sad for Sean Monahan, a guy who was playing really well for the Montreal Canadiens, played through an injury that he probably shouldn't have played through. Whether that was the Canadiens' call or his, it shouldn't have happened because this season was never meant to be about winning games. Winning games is fun, don't get me wrong. I like it when the Canadiens win. It brings me joy as a podcast host who likes to bring you content. The issue is, it set him back. He had to let his foot heal. There was no surgery or anything like that. And then while rehabbing and looking like he was this close to potentially returning, suffered another lower body injury, which I assume is likely a knee or something along those lines. Not great. And that's unfortunate. It explains why he wasn't traded. The Canadiens are looking for a mid-round pick, according to insiders. And they didn't get that because he's not able to play. And the NHL is supposedly cracking down on this. I will not rant about the Arizona money laundering front. I will do that on another show at another time. Besides the point, their biggest trade asset, nothing. And I wouldn't be shocked if they re-sign him to a cheap deal next year. 1 year, $1.5 million or something along those lines. Stay healthy, get traded to a contender. I think it works out well for all sides entailed there, because I don't think anyone's going to come in and give Monahan a ton of money coming off another injury. I think the Canadiens could use him next year and use him as a versatile winger. Occasionally, maybe it's a Christian Dvorak replacement, because maybe Dvorak gets moved in the offseason. There are rumblings of that today too. But for right now, he's out. It's unfortunate. I'd like to see him play before the end of the year. I think that would be a good feel-good moment for him. On the injury front, they could not send Justin Barron down to the AHL because of his injury. Same with Juraj Slafkovský. And also, do not expect Juraj Slafkovský to go to Worlds. Kent Hughes is being a little bit more cautious with that based on the injuries they've had this year. They want their first overall pick to recuperate fully after his lower body injury and be ready for next season. That's tough. That's really, really tough, because I know a lot of people would want to see Juraj Slafkovský playing in Worlds, probably alongside Philip Machar and Dalibor Dvorsky, someone who the Canadiens might be drafting. There's still going to be talent there. It stinks that it's not going to be the Canadiens. And Kent Hughes mentioned in this press conference, the biggest thing is they did see development this year. Their young defensemen stepped up in a way they weren't expecting and took that step forward. Young forwards have taken that step where they look at Raphael Harvey-Pinard. They look at guys not explicitly mentioned. I assume they are also including the AHL. Guys like Xavier Simoneau, who earned a two-year entry-level contract starting next year. And also the maturation of a very young coaching staff. There's still nights where it's not perfect, but they're learning still. And there's still development. It's not always perfect. I look at this defense corps this year. Harris, Gouley, Jack Eye, Barron, all people I expected to spend time in the AHL this year for various periods of time. Justin Barron's the only one who spent any time there. And I got to say, considering the youth in the Canadiens' defense, they managed to do a pretty damn good job. Unfortunately, now they lost another Barron due to injury again. They lost Gouley for a long time due to injury. And Jack Eye's having season-ending shoulder surgery, which leads into Hughes's next point. The injuries forced them to change their course here. They went from, we're going to focus on moving these bodies and moving these guys, to we need to feel the lineup and we need to be, we'll see what we can do. It's tough when you're in a cap strapped situation due to the previous regime and cleaning up some of that. You're underperforming on some of these veterans and everyone's hurt. If Joel Edmondson wasn't hurt, I have no doubt he probably would have been moved today. If Sean Monahan hadn't been hurt, had been able to play in maybe the week or two leading up to the deadline, he probably gets moved today. And there was just, out of respect for Jonathan Drouin and other players, Ken Hughes did not comment on whether or not there was a market for them, out of respect for his players, which I appreciate. It tells me that there was not one, mind you. It's saying there wasn't without saying there wasn't, but it's tough. A guy with no goals, who is admittedly playing better hockey as of late, still has no goals and 18 assists. You're hoping for more than that from someone who's making a good amount of money. And he just said it was quiet. Kent Hughes said it was real quiet today. I have no doubt that he made calls, potentially trying to be another third partner to use that retained spot. But it was a quiet day in Montreal. And that's part of it, is that this deadline changed so much here. And these final 20 games that they're going to play are basically an evaluation for next year. Who are we moving on from? Who do we want to bring back? What do we want to do? And I think that's the right way of looking at it, is that you don't want to throw in the towel because there's still games to be played. There's still development to be had. And then you have the AHL team that is also looking to make a big push forward here. The only way it's disappointing is if you looked at all the names we mentioned, Anderson, Edmondson, Monahan, Drouin, Dodonov, etc., and all of them, we're going to trade everybody. In a perfect world, Sean Monahan goes for another second round pick and a prospect. Joel Edmondson gets a first and a prospect or a roster player from a team. Jonathan Drouin gets a mid round pick. Getting Denis Gurianov for Evgeny Dodonov is a huge win in my books anyways. I know Laura covered the trade in her own episode here, but they got Dodonov for getting rid of Shea Weber's LT retired contract and then got Denis Gurianov for that deal too. And Gurianov looks like a ton of fun. That's good asset management. They got a piece for nothing, and then they got an expiring UFA for a young guy that if they want to bring him back, they can do that. And I think they might. I don't know if they'll bring him back at his qualifying price. If they have the space, they might, but who knows? Kent Hughes mentioned how injuries impacted the course of all this. In a vacuum, it's really disappointing because you had all these names that you were hoping to move. In the grander scheme of context here, it wasn't possible for the Canadians to make all these moves because they'd be cutting off their nose to spite their face, or the moves just weren't there. Look at the trade deadline this year. Some teams bought everything. The Bruins bought everything. The Canucks bought for some reason whatsoever. This trade deadline was not perfect for the Montreal Canadiens, but they weren't the Philadelphia Flyers. They weren't the Florida Panthers who bought nothing. They weren't the Canucks. The Red Wings kind of sold. The Blues kind of sat in the middle here. They did what was right for their team. It's not that Ken Hughes probably didn't try to move pieces. It's just sometimes if the market's not there, the market's not there. It's wiser to hold on to them because now they have the summer when there's another year off their contracts and they can do a long-term rental kind of trade. You get this guy at the beginning of the year. You don't have to pay him free agency money. You just got to take on what he's got left. And next year in terms of UFAs, it's Edmondson and it's Hoffman, and the cap should rise exponentially after that. Could make Josh Anderson more appealing to someone. Could make a Brendan Gallagher potentially appealing to someone. I'm not 100% sure why, but the options are there. Rebuilds require patience. And that's the hard part right now because this is a bump in the road. It's out of Kent Hughes' hands. If he just trades guys away for whatever paltry return was offered, we're going to go, well, he didn't get enough. And if he holds on to them to try and maximize them as an asset, oh, well, he didn't trade anything. He's in a no-win situation, and I think he's navigating that about as well as he can. And now we just kind of see out the rest of the season here and what's going on with that. So that is going to wrap up our show. Thank you for making Locked On Canadiens your first listen of the day. Make your second listen Game to Game NHL. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NHL with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. So follow Game to Game on Locked On NHL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at @LO_Canadiens. Follow me at Scott Matla. Follow Laura at The Active Stick. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified every time we post a brand new episode. And folks, we will be back with some bangers to start next week. See you next time.